The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Now, imagine this. You're 32, living in what was your childhood room, and after a heavy night out, Mammy walks in to wake up her precious son. Next thing you know, she starts firing questions about the night before, commenting on the state of your room, begging you to put your dishes in the dishwasher for once, and suddenly you've gone from 32 to 12. This is a reality for an increasing number of people. But is there a way for parents and these so-called boomerang kids to define the rules in order to live together peacefully? Well, here to discuss it is a psychotherapist and author of Hashtag Love, 21st Century Relationships, Trish Murphy. Trish, good morning.
Good morning.
And this is a very 21st century thing, isn't it?
I suppose it is, and yet it isn't. You know, if you come from the country, your parents probably had somebody maybe living at home forever, or a couple of people living at home on the farm forever. So, but it's very specific to this new generation, the fact that they can't afford to leave, perhaps, or that there is no impetus to leave. And so, you know, or if they were to leave, they'd have to downgrade their lifestyle a whole lot. So it's very difficult. But it's very difficult for parents as well.
Okay, so we have a number of situations. You have the child who will not leave because it's very comfy at home and mammy is doing the washing and all the shopping is provided. And
absolutely.
Even if they do contribute a token amount or even more than a token amount, it probably doesn't pay for everything they're using.
No, and I think the problem is those conversations are very difficult because, you know, people generally move home. They don't intend to stay very long. They say they won't. And then it can drift into years. And so the conversation about the adults in the house, who shares the housework, who pays for things, is there a rota, doesn't really happen because everybody's hoping that it'll be over soon. But it isn't over soon. And so the resentments can continue.
It's extending childhood in a way, isn't it? If there is no discussion about it, if it just evolves from the childhood and teenage situation, it's never really going to change. The relationships are going to be difficult to change unless there is a conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's really difficult because the parents, generally speaking, want to be supportive and they don't want to put extra pressure and say, you know, you're not welcome here. They certainly don't want to do that. But at the same time, it's their house. So the challenge, they probably need to take charge of this and they probably need to organise a conversation or several, I suggest, conversations or maybe once a month ones about what is fair in this new situation and how things can work.
Okay, and we'll talk about the nature of that conversation in a moment. But then there's the social situation. I mean, you've got your mid-20s son, for example, and mammy batters in the morning, as she would do.
Yeah.
Get up out of bed, you lazy so-and-so. It's 11:30. And he peeps up from under the cover and says, by the way, Mom, this is Olga.
No, I agree. So it's not everybody needs to adjust. So if you want your adult children to behave as adults, then you have to treat them as adults. And they have a right to privacy. Yeah. They have a right to their own decisions. But
do they have the right to bring in Olga and then Maureen and then Emma and then Roisin and then, you know, serial tryout lovers?
Well, I think
that's the childhood bedroom.
That is one of the most difficult situations to discuss. But the worst thing is sneaking somebody in at a ridiculous age.
She had nowhere to go.
No, but I do think
she was locked.
Some of this is quite funny, but the reality of it can be very taxing for people. And I spoke to a woman and she recommended, she said that on at their 21st birthdays of her children, she gave them a card and a gift. And in the card, it said, OK, 25. By 25.
Out by 25.
I would love you to be sorted. Now, she said it wasn't just that, but she followed it, helped, supported, got advice. You know, so she helped them to leave by 25. But they had that expectation.
The question's coming in. Should you be allowed to have a partner stay in your parents' home?
Well, I think as an adult, you certainly have the right to ask about that and to negotiate that with your parents. Absolutely. But I think it's all about the conversation.
And if there are multiple partners?
That's much more difficult. Because
I mean, the mammy on the one hand, if she's hoping to get him, and we'll talk about the lads for a moment, off her hands, she can kind of vet these creatures of the night.
Oh, God, don't say that. That's a bit unfair on mammies. But I do think that parents want...
Oh, she's very nice. That one you brought home on Saturday, I didn't like her at all. But last night's one, she was gorgeous.
But parents want their kids to be happy and in good relationships and moving on. So, you know, there's a lot of support for it as well.
Now, there's the other situation whereby people return for economic reasons. And sometimes they return as singletons, but sometimes they return as a couple. They've lived outside with their partner and now they're saving like crazy. And they know they can't get a deposit for a house unless they cut down on the rent. So they ask the parents. I mean, I presume they don't just arrive.
No, they probably have a much clearer agenda, and you know they've agreed that it's a certain amount of time, and they're going to save X amount per month. The thing is that both sides have got used to living without the other, and the adjustment can be quite severe. You know, so everybody needs to be very generous and, I suppose, caring of the others. But it can be really hard, and it can result in a lot of resentment and difficulties.
I mean, there are people who have routines, and let's say the parents have their routines about, you know, when the washing is done, all the household tasks, who puts out the bins. And then maybe she comes home, she's got this big lump of a fella that they know because they've met him before, but he doesn't lift a hand to help the aging dad do the tasks, or vice versa, that there's someone coming in and they don't help with any, the shopping, for example, which can be onerous, even emptying the dishwasher. Yeah. Those kind of things that can really irritate.
But I think everybody knows what's fair. And I remember years ago, I had a discussion with a man and he was retiring. Now, he was a young retiree. And, you know, he said, I wouldn't like to interfere with my wife's, you know, management of the house. Which was a euphemism for I'm not going to do anything extra. And then I asked him, what about your adult kids? Do you think they should help her with the house? And he said, oh, yeah, they should definitely do it. And then I think the penny dropped. So I think people know what's fair, but you have to be brave enough to have the discussion and maybe an ongoing discussion.
Now, I've been taken to task. How come it's not Mary bringing home a gym?
Exactly.
Try not to be so sexist. Another one. As usual, unbelievable gender stereotyping of young men. Not acceptable anymore. As many young women as men stay at home.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, this is true of any adult who's at home. And I think, you know, the expectation is that your partner might live with you, might move in with you, but that has to be negotiated no matter who it is. And it's a very difficult conversation. And then the breakup, you see, when the breakup happens, it also happens to the parents. They lose somebody they've gained a lot of connection with. So everybody can suffer when that happens. Mm. So, you know, it's more complex than we know.
This one, should you keep at your 20 plus son to clean his mess of a room as the room actually smells?
Yeah, no, that's extremely difficult.
It's health and safety.
Yeah. No, it is. And I think it's fair that you know, privileges have to be, you know, reduced if that happens, because, you know, you need a certain level of cleanliness. Now, I do think the door should be closed on their room and you let them at it.
Yeah.
But if they're leaving food all over the place, you know, it's a matter of concern. So, you know, there are places that you have to go to.
Someone says there's nothing wrong with moving home. It can be a saviour. The mistake is moving out so young and then scraping by. Because you don't have the income.
And I think
it's
parents
a crazy
understand
waste
that.
Of money young people throw at rent at the moment. And sometimes they do it just to be liberated. You know, they want to have relationships. They want to explore being young adults, male and female. And they don't think they can do that under their parents' roof.
No, and I agree with that. But also my experience of young people in general is that they are very wise. They are very tuned in. They do know that this is difficult. They're well able to have the conversation and they do understand fairness and justice. I suppose, you know, it's like all of us. We go home at Christmas and after 3 days we're behaving like we used to behave years ago.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. It's not that they don't know. It's that the patterns are so powerful. You can get sucked into it.
Question. What about children who move back home with children of their own?
Yeah.
And therefore kind of take up a lot more of the space that the parents figure is their own.
Now, I think that can work both ways. Sometimes it's wonderful for the grandparents. They kind of get rejuvenated by access to kids and, you know, start to feel young again. And they have a very special relationship with the grandkids. But also it can put a lot of pressure and assumptions can be made about child minding. Again, I think if it's for a specified period of time, it can work very well. But it does need to be discussed regularly in case it's going over the expectations.
Mm. Another one. It can be a real nightmare, not just one returning, but a whole brood. And you can also have a situation where one jumps the gun and gets in first before the others have a chance to move home to save.
Now, again, I have to say this is the parents' job. The parents are, you know, the heads of those families. And if others are feeling, you know, that it's unfair or they're getting jealous, the parents need to sort that out. They should call a family meeting. It should be discussed. But it's up to the parents, not the kids, to do that bit.
I like your topic, Pat. I must admit to finding it difficult to recognise that my children are, gulp, grown up. So there you are. Now, the business of financial contributions and you know, not just the financial contributions, but a recognition that they are doing their kids a favour. So there's, it's not just about throwing a few quid each week. It's about being kind, maybe making gestures.
I mean, absolutely. And it's really interesting because, you know, any of us in our relationships, it's the small gestures that count. You know, it's the consciousness. It's the, you stay in bed and I'll make you a cup of tea. It's the, I'll do the shopping. Let me help with that. That those kinds of things are regarded as so positive that if you do enough of those, things will probably run along quite well.
I'm about to move back to my family home, age 39, with a husband and two kids in tow. Mm. It's our only option to save for a deposit. Yeah. And our worry is how this will affect our children. They are 8 and 6. Any advice?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, children have grown up in extended families for years and mostly children benefit because they have more adults to choose from. So actually, children can do really well. They're much more adaptable than we are. So if you have a positive attitude and you're not stressed, the chances that your kids, you know, they'll do really well.
A final one. What about adults that revert to being 12 and parents then end up as servants as they have served their children when they were young? The kids expect the same kind of service, even though they're now adults.
Yeah, no, I think, again, I think in this situation, the parents need to take this, take charge of it. They need to say this is not on. So I would say that if you're doing this, a great idea is Monday night, 8 o'clock, we're having an hour's conversation and do that for 4 months. You'll probably sort most of it out.
The most difficult thing, talk money.
Oh, money is the hardest thing to talk, money and chores. So put those on the agenda on Mondays and see how you get on after 4 months.
Trish Murphy, what a fascinating topic. Thank you very much.